We pointed out last time that Revelation chapter 13 follows straight on from chapter 12, and it's a pity there's a chapter division just there. So once again, let us look at the end of chapter 12 and read straight on into chapter 13. We had talked about the dragon that awaited the birth of the woman's son with the intention of killing him as soon as he was born. The dragon, we saw, was Satan. Chapter 13 begins, "And I stood," but a better translation would be, "And he stood," that is to say, the dragon, stood upon the sand of the sea. So we'll read it that way, also putting in the word "I" where it should be. But we'll do as we said just now, and look at the end of chapter 12 first. Chapter 12, verse 17. "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he," the dragon, "stood upon the sand of the sea. And I," that's John, "saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Now, we read these verses when we were looking at Daniel, because he too saw the coming of this beast. Shall we turn back to Daniel to refresh our memories, but keep a finger in Revelation if you can. Daniel chapter 7, verse 2, and as we read, will you notice the animals which are mentioned in these verses? Daniel 7, verse 2. "Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the 4 winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and 4 great beasts came up from the sea, diverse, one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side. And it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl. The beast had also 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. The animals mentioned are the lion, the bear, and the leopard. But following the arising of those beasts, Daniel saw another, diverse, of a different kind, from all the beasts that were before it. That beast represented a 4th kingdom, which would be different from the 3 that had gone before it. Daniel had seen 4 beasts, but when we turn to the Revelation, we find John saw 1 beast, with all the characteristics of Daniel's 3. In other words, what John saw was Daniel's beast combined into 1 fearful beast. None of the 3 beasts are gentle grass-eating creatures, are they? The leopard, the bear, and the lion. But when the characteristics of the 3 form 1 beast, it will be even worse. Turning back to Revelation 13, we find in verse 3, Revelation 13, verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." As we said before, when talking about Daniel, that's Satan's dreadful copy of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And and all the world wondered after the beast. There will be no realization of how awful this copy is. Instead, all the world wondered after the beast. And verse 4, they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. The dragon, you remember, is Satan. Verse 4 goes on, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The three beasts are each of them powerful and dangerous enough, but this one, having the characteristics of all three, will be so powerful that people will say, who is able to make war with him? He'll be able to do as he likes then, won't he? No one will be able to stop him. There have been many suggestions and guesses made in the past as to what nature his powers will take, what weapons he'll have that will make it impossible to start a war with him. In recent years, many dreadful weapons have been made, each one more dreadful than the last, until the thought of another war brings terror to many, and they want to avoid it at all costs. It would seem likely that the beast will develop some weapons secretly while he's gaining his position and popularity, and will make sure no one else can copy him. But we don't know exactly how these things will take place. One thing is sure. The beast will have a dreadful grip on the world that no one can break. Verse 5 says, and there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. No one will be able to stop him, but his time is limited. 42 months is that time we've talked about before, 3.5 years, or 1,260 days. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You can see there the extent of his power, that all will worship him, except those who are God's own people. The Lamb is one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall see that again later. Verse 10 has a different meaning actually, but let us read it first as it stands. Verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Its meaning is that if anyone is to be taken captive, he will be taken captive. If anyone is to be killed with the sword, he will be killed with the sword. There will be no escape. The beast will be a world ruler. So there'll be no chance of escape. It won't be possible to run away into hiding. While we're talking about this world ruler, shall we think about present-day trends? For many years now, there have been efforts to form a world government, a world police force, and various other world organizations. They're just preparing the way for a world ruler. A world ruler who will certainly come in the form of the beast. People will be no better off when they get this world ruler. In fact, things will be a good deal worse. The only world ruler who could really put things right is the one they rejected and crucified. He will be a world ruler one day, but this other one, who is so awful, will come first. And we can see many things going on around us, even now, preparing the way for the rising up of the beast. Verse 11 tells us of another beast. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Looking back to verse 1 of our chapter, we read there, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. That beast arose out of the sea, and this second beast, verse 11 tells us, arises out of the earth. They will come from two different places. So, verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He too will be powerful, like the first beast, and will cause the first beast to be worshipped. This second beast will have great powers, verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. We read earlier of the beast having his deadly wound healed, and now we read of miracles. These will be Satan's copies, and with them he will seek to deceive people, as verse 14 says. There's been an increase in recent years among some Christian people to think that it should be possible to perform miracles of healing and so on. But we need to be on our guard, because Satan will try to deceive with copies. He will give the power to do wonderful things. When we were looking at Matthew 24, we saw a warning of this. Shall we read it again? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Another verse which I think we've read before, but which we could well look at again, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Speaking of that wicked, verse 8, it says in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. It's too big a subject for us to go into now, but during these days in which we're living, the Lord does not give the power to any of us to do miracles, healing miracles and such like. If you study the Bible carefully, you'll realize that Paul ceased doing such miracles, not because he no longer wished to do them or lost his faith in God, far from it. The fact was that those wonderful powers ceased when the Jews were set aside for their continual rejection of the gospel message. When God begins to deal with the Jews again, the miracles will start once more. But that's not yet. Of course, that great miracle of transformation that takes place when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that has gone on all along. But we're talking here of what are often called evidential miracles. Those you can't help seeing, like the healing of the leper, giving of sight to the blind, making the lame walk. Those miracles have been discontinued during these times when God has been dealing particularly with the Gentiles. So any suggestion of those sort of miracles being performed now is just one of Satan's lying wonders, introduced now to prepare the way for the greater lying wonders which will take place when this chapter in the Revelation, which we're dealing with, is actually fulfilled. We stopped just now in the middle of a verse, so we'll now finish reading it. We were reading about the second beast that will arise, and verse 12 says, we're back in Revelation 13, verse 12. He exercises all the power of the first beast. He'll cause the earth to worship the first beast, and he'll do great wonders. Verse 14 was the one we were reading. This second beast deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. He will tell those that live on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, the first beast. You've read many times of images being made and worshipped, although those images were only of wood or stone, and could neither see nor hear nor speak. But this image will be different. Verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. We don't know how that image will be made to live or speak, but some of the scientific discoveries of these days we're living in may be leading up to this. Do you remember that when we were talking about the book of Daniel, we saw there that Nebuchadnezzar made an image and said that all must fall down and worship it? Those who refused were to be cast into the burning fiery furnace. So once again, here in Revelation, we find an image made, and those who refuse to worship it are to be killed. Back in Daniel, there were three men who refused to worship the image, and they were bound and thrown into the burning fiery furnace. But the Lord was with them, and they were brought out again. It was found that the fire had had no effect on them. Not a hair of their head was singed, nor their clothes burnt. The Lord had taken care of them in the midst of that trial. Last time we talked about a woman who was a picture of believers in these days of the Revelation. She had a child, and the dragon stood ready to devour her child as soon as it was born, a picture again of persecution. The child was caught up to God, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she was fed and cared for. We referred then to the manna, which was given to the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. God-given food, given when normal food was not available. We spoke too of the prayer, usually called the Lord's Prayer, and gave you a better translation of it. Give us this day the bread that cometh down upon us, and deliver us from the evil. And we said that prayer specially applies to these days when the beast will be at work on the earth. Now shall we see exactly why we've said all that? Verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, bond, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You probably know that slaves were always branded, marked to show who was their master. And these verses tell us of the branding or marking of those who are the slaves of the beast. But who won't be one of his slaves? Verse 16 says, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. There's no escaping it, is there? and unless you have that mark, you'll be unable to buy or sell. Well, you must buy food sometimes, quite often in fact. Or must you? Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are fully trusting in Him certainly won't want to accept the mark of the beast and become His slave. They will refuse to worship the beast, so they will be unable to buy or sell even food. Now you see why we've talked about the manna and that prayer, don't you? The believers will have to be miraculously fed in order to survive. But one thing we know, the Lord will never let them down. He'll provide their needs, just as He did the Israelites. He'll protect them, just as He protected those men, those three men, who went into the burning fiery furnace. He will never fail them, nor forsake them. This beast of the Revelation will have tremendous powers, won't he? He'll have all the world in his grip. So these regulations will apply all over the world, not just in one or two places. You know, 15 to 20 years ago, I used to wonder how the beast could ever exercise such great powers. I used to think, how could he stop people buying or selling? After all, there would be the friendly grocer and butcher and so on. They would still serve their old customers. They'd want to anyway for the sake of their business. There was always the little shop round the corner who'd help you out. But what has been happening for many years now? Lots of those little friendly shops round the corner have been squeezed out of business by the big supermarkets, and it's going on constantly. Small businesses are being taken over by bigger ones, and in many cases you don't really know who really owns a business. It still goes by its old name, but it belongs to a big company. Yes, small businesses are taken over by bigger ones, and the bigger ones are taken over by still bigger ones, until it's possible that eventually there'll be one universal grocer, one universal baker, one universal butcher, and then it will be an easy matter for the beast to become head of the whole lot. And that's how he will be able to control who buys and sells. Can you see how we're leading up to this even now? We've only mentioned food, but there are other things we need. For example, clothes. This time of the beast's control will last 3.5 years, and one usually needs a few new clothes in that time. But if you can't buy or sell, you can't have new clothes. Once again, what did the Israelites do when they were in the wilderness? They wandered there for 40 years. But in all that time, their clothes did not wear out. The Lord made them last all those years. Maybe He'll do the same again for those who have to live through the Great Tribulation. The three men who went into the burning fiery furnace came out with their clothes unspoilt too. When writing the Epistle to the Hebrews, Paul included a chapter giving a list of those who had outstanding faith. At the end of the list of those actually named, he found he had so many more in his mind that he could only speak of them collectively. They were all people who'd lived and died long before Paul, but I often wonder whether some of the things said of them will be repeated when the Great Tribulation comes. Shall we turn back to Hebrews 11 and read a few verses? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. He wrote in the middle of verse 35, of those who were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And then in verse 36 he said, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. Those Paul had in mind remained faithful to the Lord in spite of those awful trials. And when we turn to the Revelation, we find that similar trials may await the believers. But in spite of them all, there will be some called the overcomers, those who remain faithful to the Lord and overcome all the trials and temptations they have to face. Sorry. The Lord will be with them and will strengthen and help them. They could never go through it otherwise. All these terrible trials will come on those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because of their refusal to worship the beast. We've talked about shops and businesses all coming under one head, and the process is going on at this moment. But what about the worship of the beast? We've said nothing much about that so far. At the moment, it's possible to worship God in almost any way you like, in many countries at least. Here you can be Church of England or Baptist or follow any other way of worship that you think right. There's been a great effort made in recent years, though, to make one way of worship and one only. In other words, the Church of England are talking of uniting with the Methodists, and then the Church of England are drawing closer to the Roman Catholics, because they think they ought to unite into one church, regardless of their very different beliefs. They're working very hard for church unity, and church unity will come. There will be one form of worship, and one only. But it will not be the worship of God. It will be the worship of the beast. The present-day church unity talks are preparing the way, getting people ready for that terrible takeover, that time when the beast will control the lot. Before we leave our chapter, we must say something more about the end of verse 17. Revelation 13, verse 17. It refers to the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's that last bit we must look at, the number of his name. You know that years ago, people did not use figures, but only letters. You know that some clocks have Roman letters instead of figures. Some Bibles have the chapters shown in the same way. V is 5 and 10, X is 10, and so on. It was possible then to write a name and think of it as a word, or to think of it as a collection of figures. If you thought of it as a collection of figures, you could add them up and find the total. Now if you do that with the Greek form of the name Jesus, and use the numerical values of each letter, in other words, treat the letters as figures, and add them up, you'll get the total 888. I must stress that you can't do it with the English name, Jesus, and in any case, we don't have numerical values for our figures, as the Greeks and others did. Now, if you have studied the importance of numbers in the Bible, you'll know that 8 is the one that specially relates to resurrection, a new beginning. And 888 is the number of our Lord's name. In contrast, the number of the beast's name is given in verse 18. Revelation 13, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 600, 60, that's 60, and 6. 666. 666. We said that 8 relates to resurrection. Now 6 is man's number. It particularly relates to man. And the beast will be a man, a very outstanding man, having all the worst characteristics that men can possess. He won't be a god. He won't be worthy of worship. He'll be a man. And even the numerical value of his name stresses that. 666. In contrast to the mark of the beast, we find chapter 14 begins by telling us, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads." But that we must leave for next time. In the meantime, may the Lord bless and help you. Amen.